on a basic mute tonight. We have people that are joining us now on the internet tonight. We have our internet working, which is great. We want to be shifting to a different service so that we can post these on YouTube on a private channel so all of you can go watch the video as easily as you can listen to the audio. So it's good to have you with us tonight. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. It's very good to be with you. We had a question earlier about whether we wanted to postpone this for the presidential debate. Hopefully you're recording it so you can watch it after. Get ready to take some notes because we're going to take on these thought processes tonight. It's mental creation. The thought processes we use to receive inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges that ignite our passion and drive our focus and our discipline and our effort and our action. I'm just testing to make sure that we have our sound okay here on our... Testing. Okay, there we go for our broadcast. Well, just taking a big deep breath, everyone. This has been a whirlwind of a day. We're about 10 hours away. 10 hours, that's about it. 10 hours of writing time. We'll probably get five of those in tonight after everything's over. On the new book. The new book is entitled The Observer's Chair. The Observer's Chair. The Miracle of Healing Self-Esteem is the subtitle, called The Observer's Chair. I want to share with you a little bit about the premise for this particular document because it's germane to what we're discussing tonight. I want to read to you the opening chapter. It's only a page, just a brief one, that will help us get an idea of what this observer's chair is all about. I'm just going to go to it right now. Here we go. Og writes, I have surrendered my free will to the years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. That comes out of scroll number one. As humans, we have been given the unique gift of metacognition, which means the ability to step back and become aware of our unhealthy habits of thinking. Unlike all other living creatures on this planet, we can become aware of the observer of our thoughts. Choose to change and live above and beyond these damaging habits so we can become the observer. Here we sit at the observer's chair. Now, if you're sitting in a chair, just do this with me. Firmly grip the armrests and hold them tightly. When we choose to sit here in this chair, we are whole and complete, confident, valiant, peaceful, deliberate, and unconditional with ourselves. Reflecting on the needs of others, we are empathetic, respectful, accepting, tolerant, just and fair, and compassionate. This is the place where we receive inspired ideas, which we're going to talk about tonight. Impressions and solutions to challenges. Whispers and visions of possibility that ignite our passion and drive our focus, discipline, effort, and action. It is here that we act on our own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason because we want to, get to, and choose to. It is here we find joy in the journey. It is here that we experience success, happiness, and peace of mind. Yes, it is here that we learn, apply, and master the principles, practices, and processes that define an observer, the intentional creator of hopes and dreams. This is a very good place. We know this chair. It feels like home because we are sitting in our gifts. After all, we are the observer. Now notice the chair that's about 10 feet in front of us. This is the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking. When we choose to sit in that chair, our unhealthy habits question our worth and worthiness, doubt our ability, and challenge our beliefs and values. This is where unrealistic expectations are created, that foster fear and frustration. This is Operation Central, the home base for judgment and intolerance, despair and discouragement, overwhelm and confusion. This is where we feel intimidated, exhausted, impatient, and disorganized. This is where our unhealthy habits of thinking resist, resent, and even rebel against discipline and structure, goodness, and light. Sitting in that chair over there, overwhelmed by the incessant voice, we can hear divine whispers. We cannot hear divine whispers or see visions of possibility. In that chair over there, our efforts are sabotaged, and we are stripped of our freedom and robbed of our hopes and dreams. This is a very dark place. Sadly, we also know that chair all too well. When we move from the observer's chair to the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking, we are surrendering our free will, our right to make good choices and wise decisions. We're also giving up our voice. Yes, we turn our life and voice over to these habits. They are in charge. They are running our life. They are speaking for us. And when we make the choice to sit in that chair over there, we do some crazy things. And these deeds truly threaten to imprison our future. Relationships suffer. Productivity is impeded. Confusion and even anger abound. Joy is elusive. The operative question at any given time in the day must always be, which chair am I sitting in? Am I in this chair, my chair? Or have I moved over to that chair over there? The chair of my unhealthy habits of thinking. This is a fun premise for us to take a look at what's happening with our habits of thinking. One of the great destroyers of self-esteem is unmet expectations. And unmet expectations are a direct consequence of how we use our gift of vivid visualization. Sweetheart, would you grab a file with an assessment picture in it? I want you to go to the bottom right-hand side of your assessment. Let's just take a look at these six measurements, because these are the six that are going to impact our ability to use our mind constructively. That means in a way that will manifest inspired ideas that ignite our passion. We know that ignites part of our brain that is normally dormant. This is a beautiful and wonderful thing to experience. Oops, I need the other layout, please. Okay, thanks. If we look at these measurements, in the bottom right-hand side, the very top measurement is called self-direction. Just take a look and see what color this is for you. We're seeing this more frequently orange and sometimes red. When it is orange or red, what we know is that we are starting to be motivated by obligation or even fear of consequences. I'm going to have you draw a circle on your piece of paper. I did this with some of you when we were doing your assessments. Just draw a piece of paper on your paper, draw a circle about 2 inches in diameter. At the top of the circle, I want you to write the word obligation. Now, obligation means everything we have to do, should do, must do. You might even make a note or two what some of those things might look like. I have to do this. I should do this. I need to do this. What are those things? Just write those down on a piece of paper. But obligation, 12 o'clock noon, on this graph, this circle. At 2 o'clock, write the word tired. Tired. When our primary form of motivation is obligation, it is like strapping on a backpack full of bricks. We're just dragging them through the day. It's exhausting. And when that is our motivation and we start to get exhausted, 2 o'clock, we write the word tired. We're tired. We're exhausted. Now, when you get to that point in the day or the week or the month, when you just don't have the energy to press forward, what do you do? At 4 o'clock, right on the graph, rebel. Rebel. We rebel. How does rebellion show up for you? Just make a word or two. Is it, I become reclusive, I become ornery, angry, frustrated, I just go to a movie, I go play golf. What is it? What do you do when you rebel? When you're so tired, you just can't take it anymore. What do you do? Well, when we get to that space, we might start entertaining thoughts about quitting. That's at 6 o'clock on this graph. Quit. Quitting. So at the top, 12 noon obligation, 2 o'clock tired, 4 o'clock rebel, 6 o'clock quit. Now most really good people will immediately start feeling guilty. So at 8 o'clock write the word guilt. We start feeling guilty. People are depending on us. I've made these commitments. I promised I would be there. All the things we start hearing in our dialogue. So at 10 o'clock write the word recommit. We recommit. We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, we make the decision to press forward, and the question is to do what? The answer is to go back and do our obligation. All those things we have to do, should do, must do, even fear consequences if we don't do them, until we are tired. And when we get tired, we're going to rebel, then we're going to think about quitting, then we're going to feel guilty, then we're going to recommit, then go back and do what we have to, should, and must, until we get tired. If your measurement is orange or red, this should be a very familiar experience. If it's green, just say, wow, am I been there lately? Is that green doesn't mean we'll never experience it. It just doesn't mean it's not the dominant, always the case. Doesn't mean we won't experience it. But when it turns orange, it's frequent. Red, it's consistent. This cycle, this obligation cycle. Imagine the impact that has on everything else that's going on in terms of how we're going to approach life. So that's the first measurement. Next measurement's honorable. This is another form of motivation. The motivation, when it's balanced, is can we, oh, by the way, I should have said this, self-direction, the desired outcome would be to do things because we want to and get to and choose to. Is to act on our own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reasons, because we want to, we get to, we choose to. This is our choice. We are self-directed, not out of obligation, because we want to. So wanting to would be the balance. The orange or red would be have to, obligation. Now let's go to honorable. Honorable is asking, okay, how realistic are you in terms of your thought processes? What do they want you to believe about how you should be showing up personally, how you should be showing up in this expectation? What should you be doing? Now, if we see this one start to turn orange and red, the vast majority of the time, the direction in which it's going is perfection. Somewhere along the way, we borrowed somebody else's thought process or comment and made it our own. It's now in our own mind. And is saying, no matter what I do, it's never quite good enough. It is an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. This is an enormous amount of pressure. This is the measurement of perhaps an Olympic athlete. Most of their lives are a little bit out of balance. It's pushing, pushing, pushing. Get that one-tenth off. Just push, push, push. We come to life and our motivation, we're showing up with obligation, have to, should, must. We're showing up with perfection, no matter what I do is never good enough. Can we see how we're starting to set ourselves up for challenges? The third one is goals and expectations. Now this one's orange or red 97% of the time. 97% of the time. This is our ability to see clearly possibility. Vividly visualize. And if we've got any questions about whether we vividly visualize, a lot of people say, I don't visualize. Well, that's not true. We're just not aware of it. And I've never met anybody who wasn't aware of what they're thinking, who when they discovered what they were thinking, discovered that their thought processes were positive. Sometimes we don't want to know where our mind is going. It's just that it's somewhere else. It's just somewhere else. We're driving down the road and we miss an exit. Wow, I'm just thinking about something else. We want to become very in tune with where it is that our mind is going, especially if this measurement is orange or red, because it's like raising the stakes. Blue, it can be vivid and help us see possibilities that will ignite our passion. As it turns orange, we just know it's even more intense, which means if we are using it incorrectly, destructively, the damage that it can do is enormous. If it's red and we're using it destructively, it'll just drive us down in the depths of hell. This is a wild bronco when it turns orange and red. We want to be hyper-vigilant that we know exactly where our thoughts are at any given time, because if we don't, we're in trouble, because what happens, because of its intensity when it's orange and red, the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry is occurring that would happen if we're actually there. In other words, the mind has created a new reality. How do we know this is possible? Because we might be in one of these mindsets where we're paying off our parents' home and buying cars for our siblings, and we're so emotionally moved, we've got tears streaming down our cheeks and dampening our pillow. Our body is reacting. It's so real. Our body is reacting to the vivid visualization. There are many other places you can think about examples where a visualization drives a physical reaction. To be very, very careful when it's orange and red. The next one is coachable. Coachable just asks, how stuck am I in this particular kind of a thought process? Have I been doing this for a long time? Are my thoughts open to a new way of thinking that might bring value to my life? Or am I kind of stuck here? If it's orange, you're probably stuck. The fifth measurement is pragmatic. This is an important one. I was just writing about this one the other day in the new book, because we're seeing this measurement show up orange even with people who are natural creators, people who naturally use their mind constructively, they see clearly, they take the actions, they make things happen. This measurement is saying, how are you feeling about all the things that are getting in the way of what you'd like your life to be like? Okay, I'd like my business to be at this point. How are you feeling about all those things that are in the way that are holding you back, keeping you from being there? A very interesting piece. Because when it turns orange, we're sitting here in the now, looking up at where we either used to be or want to be, and we're overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done to get there. Now, if we've done this before, the last time we climbed this ladder, we did so with passion. It was passion-driven. It was exciting. We worked without counting the cost or tracking the time. We didn't even know how many steps there were on the ladder. We just climbed. And now we're sitting back here looking up. We are very conscious of how many rungs there are. We're very conscious of the time that it's going to take. And we happen to be looking at all of that absent passion. We're looking at the work. And the work is overwhelming. Burdensome, boring, mundane, repetitious, hard. So that measurement's orange. Just know we want to bring a way. I'll show you how to do it, but how to bring passion back into your life. And the last measurement's resolute. Now we're starting to see this one, red and orange, more frequently. Resolute just says, in my thought processes, as I'm creating my motivation for my life, can I be committed to the direction in which I'm currently going? What's the level of my commitment? Am I hedging? Am I holding back? If we're starting to turn orange or maybe even red, we're starting to hedge. Now, it may not be in all parts of our life, but it could be in a relationship. It could be in a career choice. It could be in an investment. It could be a lot of things. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do because maybe I've been burned. That's generally the most common reason. So here are our six measurements. What is taking us, what mindset, if you will, are we bringing into our tangible world? Are we coming obligation-based, self-direction? Are we becoming perfection-based? No matter what I do, it's not good enough, honorable. Am I coming with fantasy, wanting to escape and avoid and just go to places that are wonderful in my mind? Coachable, am I stuck in this pattern? pragmatic? Am I overwhelmed by everything that's going to have to be done and resolute? Am I lacking the commitment in this direction? These measurements are so critical to determine what's going to happen. You can start to see how they can get us in trouble. The one that gets us in the most trouble is goal-oriented. It causes us to, well, 98% of the time, that's a lot. 98% of the time, it wants us to go to a time in the future when an event has already occurred. And then it wants us to start playing out very vivid scenarios of what it will be like then. This is so dangerous. It's called fantasy. Because the event hasn't occurred, and we've skipped all of the work between here and there. We're just imagining this room full of people. We're imagining this potload of money. We're imagining what it'll be like after that. And then what happens? We get to the event, and it's just not there. And we just feel so disappointed and discouraged because we've made plans in our mind. We have already lived those experiences. They are so real to the mind that for us to have to let those go, it's like taking a dull knife and cutting out our heart. So painful when we create those kinds of expectations. Expectation, concrete condition for happiness. This is not a healthy thing to do, but it's a very common thing that we do. Now, the obligation cycle. Let's talk just a moment about making those 3x5 cards. We talked about this before. Those cards that say, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command and I obey my own command. The question we want to consider tonight in terms of the observer's chair is, where are we sitting? If we're in fantasy, wanting to escape because life is miserable or we're just tired, we just want to go to a time when it's better, which chair are we in? Clearly we're over there, the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking. If we are engaged in have to and should and must, we're over there in our unhealthy habits of thinking. And remember, when we're over there, we are surrendering our voice. Now the truth may be that when we're there, that we get really attached to these thought processes, really attached. We think that's who we are. They speak in first person, and sometimes their voice is louder than any other voice in our life. And so that's who we think we are. And these are systemic thoughts, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. These are hard ones to break. But these are just thoughts. We step back here and we sit in the observer's chair and we say, whoa, just a minute here. Wow, I'm spending a lot of time in catastrophe. Wow, I'm spending a lot of time in fantasy. Maybe it's time for me to do something different. When we talk about pulling out our tomahawk, we chop the air, not going there today. I'm staying in creation. What we're saying is, I'm not going over there today. I'm staying in the observer's chair. That's all we're saying. I'm staying here in the observer's chair. Because this is where things happen. This is where I get the inspired ideas. This is where I take action. This is where I solve the very problems that I am fretting about when I'm over there in that other chair. I'm not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Now, the beautiful thing about this decision, which is coming out in the new book, I'm finding a way to say this. I'll summarize it for you, but it's a really important piece for self-improvement. Because we sometimes talk about self-improvement as this long, arduous task. Well, actually, it's simply making the decision to stay in this chair. We want to get here sooner and stay here longer. I had a client the other day said, Dave, I've been back and forth between these two chairs 6 times today. Huh? But every time we make the decision to sit here, we immediately feel connected, whole and complete. Wow. Now, we may have a thought process talk us back out of it. But if we can stay here longer, we'll be able to create even more. Now, to help us in this process, we have the scrolls. The purpose of the scrolls is to create what we call density, density focus. Now, we read the scrolls, and there's tremendous information. There's so many metaphors. They can come to us and teach us in the moment. I've had some amazing breakthroughs just in the last few months with the scrolls. I've been studying them for 1.5 decades. I mean, they still are speaking to me. I'm in them every day with clients and coaching and writing. They still are bringing messages to me. Because that's when I'm ready, they show up. Unlimited applications, unlimited interpretations, called the language of the intrinsic. That's a powerful piece. But even more powerful than that, they raise our awareness. It's a density focus. It's a morning, noon, and night activity. Very specific morning, noon, and night. The purpose is to keep our awareness at a high enough level that when we come to that pivotal moment where we're saying, well, my natural default is to slide over into that other chair, I'm going to stay in this one. I'm going to choose to stay here. Next pivotal moment, I'm going to choose to stay here. Choose to stay here. Choose to stay here. Choose to stay here. We do this long enough, and we actually create a new neural pathway, a new habit of thinking. And the old one gets synaptically pruned off, just like we prune a dead branch on a tree. But we want to get here first. And the beautiful thing about getting here is when we are here, we can feel we're here. This feels really good. It's not that we make a conscious decision to go back over there. We just let our awareness drop down enough that the natural default is to slide back over. Wow, then we raise our awareness and go, wow, I'm in the wrong chair. We stand up, we come over here, sit down, and we go back into intentional creation. Things start to happen. It's very exciting. When we keep our awareness up, we stay here longer and longer and longer until we finally create a new habit of thinking. It's a powerful concept. And the most important piece I share with you is that there is joy just in the decision. You know when you're here. You just know it. That's a great place to be. Now, let's talk about how we stay here. We have some affirmations that I prepared and put in the new book. You'll find them in your Intentional Creation Studio in quality number 2. Quality number 2 is mental creation. It's goals and expectations, the way it's labeled in that book. And when we go to this piece, I'm just going to scoot right down here on this. There it is. I've got it right in front of me now. I want you to hear these affirmations. We read the scroll and it raises our awareness. So here we are. We're now aware. We choose to sit in the chair. Now, if you go to your Intentional Creation Studio, go to quality number 2, click on it. In the middle column, the second option is affirmations. Click on that. In the right-hand column, you'll see the audio bar with these 6 affirmations recorded and set to music. They're also written there if you'd like to copy and paste them into another document and carry them with you. Listen to this. I am self-directed. I am responsible and accountable for what I think and believe. I do the next right thing for the right reason because I want to, get to, and choose to. Goal-oriented, I like this one. I use my mind constructively to manifest inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges that ignite my passion and drive my discipline, focus, effort, and action. These affirmations, these I am affirmations, they're not about having. You know, I have $50,000 in here and a big house, and I have, and I have, and I have. Don't go there. I am. This is my character. I'm creating character. And I will take action based on this character, and I'll have. But it'll be the natural outcome of having become. So read these affirmations. Listen to them. Put them on an iPhone, iPod, or burn them to a CD and play them in your car to remind yourself, when I'm choosing, wow, I'm not in this chair, I'm going to come over and sit in this chair, and then I listen to these affirmations. It'll take you about 2.5-3 minutes to listen to them. It doesn't take long at all. Just get grounded in this chair. Not going there today. In other words, the other chair, I'm going to stay in creation. I'm going to become these characteristics. Now, what am I going to do to become that? I've got 5 things. 1, I'm going to mentally rehearse. Now, we've talked about this. All of you have been through the mental rehearsal discussion. You can read about it in two places. One, in my book, in the section Mental Creation, or you can listen to it online on your Intentional Creation Studio. Mental rehearsal is just like fantasy. It's just as vivid. But the foundational difference is this. In fantasy, our secret desire is ease. We want to escape and avoid the rigors of life. We want it to make it more comfortable, less stressful. That's our motivation, which means we're skipping in our mind past all the work. We just want to manifest. And there are plenty of pundits out there who would tell you you actually could do that just with vivid visualization. And their adherents are all broke, broken, and angry, but you can hear people tell you that. In mental rehearsal, we have no desire to escape. We actually want to engage in life. We're sitting in this observer's chair. We are engaged. We are embracing these affirmations, these principles. We are choosing to connect and serve with others. We want to create value. We don't want to run away and hide. We want to create value with everyone we meet and everywhere we go. We want to contribute to the world. And our secret desire is this. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? What's the big difference between just manifest it, I just want it, I want to buy the tropical island so I can get away from annoying people because I'm sick and tired of people. All of a sudden I want to connect and serve and create value. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? This is a fundamental shift. I'm going to take you somewhere we've never gone before as coaching clients. You ready? I'm sitting in the observer's chair. I'm observing my thought processes. Some of them are unhealthy. They want me to engage in obligation or perfection or fantasy or frustration. Yeah, I'm choosing not to do that. I'm choosing instead to turn my chair around and have a conversation with the power greater than myself. It's that simple. I just want you to ponder that for a moment. What would be the difference in the conversation between our unhealthy habits of thinking, who just want to be rescued and saved and have it magically manifest and want ease and no more stress and pain? Hear all that rattling noise over there? And me sitting here in the observer's chair, self-directed, honorable, goal-oriented, coachable, pragmatic, resolute, turning to a power greater than myself and saying, what could I create? How could I create that? How would that serve? And being open to impressions, ideas, solutions to challenges. It's been my experience that when your mind is clean and clear, and you are sitting in the observer's chair, firmly grounded, that conversation is with a different source, the one who does know what could be created and how to create it and exactly how it would serve another person, meant you. And we will receive those inspired ideas. I've been experiencing this now for the last 20-something nights while I've been working on this book. Whew, I look forward to some sleep. Right now, I can't sleep fast enough. It's been wonderful. I had some experiences this week with a family member, with a coaching client, listening to these inspired ideas. What can I create? Getting an idea, just an idea, and then acting on the idea and finding out, wow, that made a huge shift. That created something way beyond my wildest imagination. But we listen and we act. Mental rehearsal is nothing more than saying, help me play out in my now grounded mind, sitting in my chair of the observer, the observer's chair. I'm sitting here, clean and clear, with my mind. It's not focused on obligation. It's not focused on perfection. It's not focused on fantasy. It's not frustrated. It is absolutely grounded in these principles and these affirmations. Now help me see possibilities. And we'll get them. If we're not, we know which chair we're sitting in. It's that simple. So we get an inspired idea and we act on it. That's mental rehearsal. Now in the book and in the recording, I gave you several examples. In the book, I talked about Peter Vidmar. Peter Vidmar, who won a gold medal in 1984 Olympics on the pommel horse, and then in the team all-around one, practiced for 12 years, 5 to 6 hours a day, and never once went beyond winning the gold medal in his mind. Why? Because nothing mattered unless he did. There would be no Wheaties box. There'd be no limousines, speaking engagements, endorsements. None of that, private jets, none of that would happen for him unless he won the gold. So all of his vivid visualization was on, how can I do this better? What can I do to improve this? And he kept working on what came as impressions to him. This is a powerful piece for us to know. Because how many of us have a meeting in the next week or two, an important meeting? We focus on the meeting. And we go, what could I create between here and there? That's still all in the future. It's not a fantasy Ferrari we're driving along the intercoastal highway with the wind blowing in our hair. It's not sitting in our luxuriant mansion on top of the hill or next to the ocean with $500 in our bank account. It's not that at all. It's looking at a real event and what could I create between here and there to mitigate fear, to increase attendance, what could I do? This is where I want to be focusing my time and my energy so that I can create something magnificent. Because nothing matters if that doesn't go well, then the next thing doesn't go well, and then the next thing doesn't go well. Each piece at a time. That's mental rehearsal. That's simple. Inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Now think about what I just said. We generally are carrying on a conversation with our unhealthy habits of thinking. It's a two-way conversation in our head. How do I get up? Oh, you need to get up. I should get up. I don't want to get up. You shouldn't eat that. I want to eat that. We've got that conversation going on. We stop that one. And we turn and have a conversation with a higher power. Imagine asking that question to that power. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. And I will serve them. That is a cry that will always be answered. Exploration. I'm going to explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. I'm going to play out possibilities like I've got an etch-a-sketch. I'm going to design a bathroom this way. I'm going to remodel a room this way. I'm going to work on a business presentation this way. Until it resonates, till it says, that's it. Ooh, yes. That confirmation, that's it. That's exploration, problem solving. This thought process, these thought processes are systemic. I mentioned that a moment ago. They process in all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose. When something is out of order, there's a problem. The world is on tilt. They will not stop thinking until it's solved. Just imagine the last time you had something negative happening in your life, how hard it was to let it go. Maybe someone offended you. Maybe the IRS called for an audit. Maybe something. Yeah, one of those phone calls or one of those emails. Just imagine where your mind went. Oh, my goodness. If instead of having to have a conversation with your unhealthy habits of thinking, don't have that conversation, turn your chair around. Does anybody know a solution to this? Let me go out on the peaks of possibilities in my mind. See what we can come up with. Because what we know is it won't stop till it does. We might as well send it into a positive place looking for an answer. And then planning and goal setting. There's a fun exercise in the book. It's also in your recording. Very simply stated. In business, come up with your financial objectives. Convert it to number of people that you want to impact. Divided by the number of weeks in the year, and you know exactly what you need to do this week in terms of the number of people's lives you want to impact. Impact those lives. the other year, you do that every week, and you'll have your financial goal. That doesn't mean we don't check in during the course of the year and see how our progress is going and maybe reevaluate our metrics. Absolutely. It's just our daily focus is not a dollar sign on someone's back. It's meeting the needs of another person. This is such an important part of goal setting. The other piece is our relationships. Very few people in relationships I've discovered over the years have an absolute plan for how they're going to intentionally create a magnificent relationship. Yet every year, we're 1 year further. Every month, we're 1 month further. When people don't have a plan, they grow apart. When they grow apart, relationships fail. If we want to have a great relationship, we intentionally create it on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual basis by the way in which we talk to one another, the kindnesses that we do, the weekly dates that we go on, the monthly activities, the quarterly retreats. These are things we intentionally do so that we can build strong and loving relationships. The beautiful thing about that kind of goal setting is it takes us right down to pivotal moments. And if we're truly following our goal, there is never a moment in a day that we'd ever be tempted to say something rude, sarcastic, hurtful to a companion. Because it's antithetical. It's just the opposite of what we'd want to do to build that relationship we've seen so clearly in our mind. Everything is about lifting and building that person. That means there are going to be some times where we're going to overlook frustration. So what? We're not like, I've heard people say, well, darn it, that's being dishonest with yourself. Really? Really? Is there a higher purpose in this process than being right about a moment? Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to learn how to just let some things go because they really don't matter. Okay, that's goal setting. Well, those are the five constructive ways we use our mind. Mentally rehearsal. It's just like fantasy, except for our intention is different. Our desire is to create value, bless a life, and not to escape. Inspiration. We want to know what I can do based on my unique life experiences. How could I show up? Exploration. Let's mitigate risk and maximize profitability by considering possibilities before we make tangible commitments. Let's think through things. Let's problem solve in partnership with the person or entity who would have the solution. And in goal setting, let's focus on changing lives and on our relationships and knowing why we're being kind and gentle, thoughtful and empathetic. Well, that's mental creation. It's a critical part of creation because creation occurs in two very different yet interrelated dimensions. What happens in our mind is absolutely critical. And if we're not aware of what's happening there, there's a very good chance we're not creating our dreams. We'll first want to become aware, then make whatever shifts are necessary to be sitting in this chair. The scroll will help us. The scroll I'm going to recommend that we read this week is scroll number 8. I'll multiply my value 100-fold. That's how we do it. We use our mind constructively, and we actually do multiply our value 100-fold. So we want to study that scroll to raise our awareness. You've got the affirmations and quality number 2 in your intentional creation studio. They're also in the book, in the mental creation section of the book, so you get it from either place. Have those available for you on an iPhone so you can listen to them, or have them on a piece of paper so you can read them. Get grounded in this chair. Stay here. Not going to go over to the other chair today. I'm staying in creation, which means I'm going to consciously, intentionally engage in these five constructive ways of thinking. The promise is, with this intention, with our conversation being with a higher power, using our mind constructively, we will receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. And this we know, that if we had you wired to that functional MRI, part of your brain would light up that is normally dormant in a human being when you receive that idea. Can you feel it? Just ignites something inside of us. That drives our focus and our discipline and our effort and our actions. Now, next week, we're going to take on action. We're going to talk about taking this path. into the now and taking on life, living present, fully present in the now, in this passion-driven action, overcoming procrastination. We're going to do some testing to see how much time you spend present in the now, how much time you spend in your mind. It's going to be a very exciting discussion next Tuesday evening. Looking forward to being with you. I just want to share with you in closing again my excitement, because these principles are so vibrant. They're so organic. They're so powerful. This assessment is incredible in its ability to identify specific places where people need to take this on. And it's so good that you're here. You're in the right place at the right time. Have the courage to sit here in this chair. There's a conversation I want to close with that comes from Og Mandino. I'm going to read this to you because I just wrote this today. This comes from the section on, it's about there, creating new habits of thinking. It reads, neuroscientists tell us that the brain has neuroplasticity, the ability to shape, be shaped and molded, rewired. Yes, we can create new neural pathways, new habits of thinking. Neuroscientists tell us that when a new habit is formed, a new neural pathway, the brain synaptically prunes off the old habit much like we prune a dead branch off a tree. This is the key that unlocks the door to success, replacing bad habits, with good habits. No matter how our unhealthy habits of thinking were formed, now sometimes that happens in childhood, sometimes there might even be genetic predisposition. We have the power to change them. We are not destined to flounder and fail. We have been created to succeed. We are the observer. I find this reality nothing short of miraculous. Og writes, failure will no longer be my pavement for struggle. Just as nature made no provision for my body to tolerate pain, neither has it made any provision for my life to suffer failure. Failure, like pain, is alien to my life. In the past, I accepted it as I accepted pain. Now I reject it, and I am prepared for wisdom and principles which will guide me out of the shadows into the sunlight of wealth, position, and happiness, far beyond my most extravagant dreams, until even the golden apples in the Garden of Hesperides will seem no more than my just reward. In mythology, the golden apples in the Garden of Hesperides were guarded by a seven-headed Medusa. Hercules had to first prune off the multiple heads of this serpent. Once accomplished, the golden apples were his just reward. But prune the heads first, he must. Our seven-headed Medusa, our monsters, are not mythological. They are very real. Our monsters are unhealthy habits of thinking, lying in wait over there in that chair. Like Hercules, we too will want to prune the heads off these mental monsters. Og writes, my bad habits must be destroyed, and new furrows prepared for good seed. Some of our mental monsters may be difficult to destroy, but destroy them, we must. We'll do so by preparing new furrows and planting good seeds. And I quoted this earlier about Og saying that we need to create new furrows and plant new seeds. And may I say, in reference to Og's mythological and deeply metaphorical reference, but we're going to want to plant golden apple seeds. Herein lies one of the greatest opportunities and also one of our greatest challenges. The decision to change a habit of thinking is ours. It requires that we exercise our free will by repeatedly preparing new furrows and proactively planting new seeds. Will it be easy? No. At times will it seem Herculean? Possibly. Can it be accomplished? Absolutely yes. And when these old habits are pruned off, what will be the fruits of our labors? The golden apples of success, happiness, and peace of mind will be no more than our just reward, the very things for which we hunger. Last paragraph. The alternative is nearly unfathomable. Should we shrink from this task? because our monsters seem too fierce. We are left with only one of two options. One, we surrender our free will and spend our life nursing the inevitable bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Or two, this is a powerful statement, we will need to find a way to play life small enough to avoid awakening our monsters. Can we all agree? Let's start preparing some new furrows. Let's take this on at another level tonight. Let's just take this on. Take a look at your assessment. See which monsters are over there screaming at you. Not going there today. I'm not going to go over on that chair. I'm going to stay in creation. Read your scroll. Read the affirmations and begin practicing the principles and practices and processes of mental creation. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, and goal setting. And see if you can't have some inspired ideas in your life this week, some impressions, solutions to challenges that ignite your passion. It is exciting to live in a way where you can't sleep fast enough. May that be your experience. It's been a pleasure to be with you tonight. Take this on this week, scroll number 8. I'll multiply my value 100-fold, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone. Good night.